Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Deplorable Nation. All of you beautiful, sexy, gorgeous patriots around the world, I'm your host, Deplorable Janet. I'm straight rock and roll, the devil ain't getting my soul, and I'll shove your shitty ass attack straight up your asshole. Hello, everyone. Hey, and hello, welcome, Mr. Matt. How are you doing today?
You know, I was going to wonder how you're going to top this every time. And I think that this one was pretty good. So I'm good, though. Thanks.
I'm pretty fucking awesome every once in a while. Like, it, especially when I'm sleeping. And that's about it.
Stop it.
So today, ladies and gentlemen, we have the pleasure of the wonderful Bob's Lessons. He is here and he is ready to tear all the haters a new rear. How the hell are you doing, Bob?
Doing good. Did you that intro that you have is amazing. You wrote all that in the, who did the music for that?
Matt did the music for
did
that.
You do, I was going to ask if you did the music because that was awesome.
He did. Really thank awesome. You very much.
It really gets me like hyped up.
Does it really?
I know, right?
Yeah, it gets me extremely
fantastic.
Hyped up.
Yeah. Now, I just want to say, for everybody that's listening, I am super stoked today because I have two of my very best friends in the entire world on my show today. So I'm a little Twitter-pated. I'm not going to lie. I may need a cold compress or an ice pack in certain places just so I can keep up.
Yeah,
just saying.
I love it. Well, you know, obviously I've been listening to you guys and y'all have a really good rapport. You know, you guys have a really good back and forth, and I can tell, you know, even if I didn't know you guys, how good of friends you are, first of all, you know, just your back and forth and your banter. And what else is great is you guys don't agree on everything, which is awesome too. Yeah. And you're able to have healthy discussion when you disagree, which I think is important for people to hear.
Dude, you know what the secret is? I live in LA and she lives in Tennessee. And if we're in the same city, we'd kill each other. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I will smack you in the face with a lunch tray, bitch.
Ow! Ow! My mouth!
Help!
I use that every day. Oh.
Poor Bob. He has to put up with me all of the time. I don't know how he does it.
Oh, I love it. I love going. I call it the Deplorable Janet Autonomous Zone, you know, because we make our own rules out at Janet's house.
That is exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
There are no rules at my house other than no destruction of property and don't be a jackass. That's about it.
Who went out there and who actually started fucking shit up and actually got allowed to stay?
I didn't realize it was also a nudist colony out there too.
It is.
Yeah, doesn't like
clothing
to wear pants.
Is always optional. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But no, we have a blast out there, and you know, one of the things I was talking to her about is every time I go out there into the country, it's so calm and I see things that I don't see in the city. Like, for example, birds. I don't see birds in the city anymore. And I talked about that a lot. Like, you know, I used to see so much wildlife, you know, and it's gone. And I go out to the country and I'm like, oh, they're fireflies. And look, there's even the fucking, what are those things? The sweat bees that come and sting us every time. Like, Jesus Christ, those motherfuckers.
Oh, the horse flies.
Oh God. They don't go away. But just the simple thing of observing nature, you know, those are things that you kind of take for granted, you know. And so it's a really good opportunity for me to kind of go out there and you know, just kind of slow everything down. So it's very
reboot.
Therapeutic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a reboot. And that's what, you know, living in the country is amazing because we get to see, you know, snakes, which I'm not tickled about, but lizards of all different kinds and tons of different birds and owls and hawks and eagles and deer, turkeys, you name it. It's always in our yard, which
Here's
is amazing.
Janet always talks to all the animals and I love it. She's like an animal whisperer. This is a new high for me. Yesterday a wasp landed in the water and she starts talking to this wasp like, "Are you thirsty, little wasp?"
Oh, God. I started, oh man.
I was like, is she talk don't sting me. I started
busting. Hey, now, don't make fun of me. You have a pet friend. Tell everybody about your new friend.
Well, every time I go over there, this butterfly just lands on my head and just chills there for an hour. So I gave it a name, and we talk it out. You know, we nice. Developed a friendship. But
you gotta go fly around a little bit with that butterfly.
Yeah, sure. But
imagine
anyway,
you would see.
I'm very honored. I'm happy to be here. It's gonna be a very laid back episode, and you know, I hope everybody is gonna enjoy it as much as I'm enjoying being here with you guys.
Yes.
So, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about all of the crazy fucking energy lately?
I do. The other thing I wanted to get y'all's opinion on, because, you know, censorship is big. And right now, because what got me into this in the beginning, and for those of you who don't know who I am, I have a Crohn's disease. And so when I started, you know, researching ways to heal myself, I started finding what's called alternative healing methods, but really is, you know, natural methods that they coined a new phrase called alternative healing, you know. And so I started really researching that, and then I started noticing that they were silencing science, they were silencing cures, and they were silencing the doctors and the healers that were pushing cures that went against, you know, whatever they were trying to push at the particular time. So that's what kind of got me into, I guess we call it the conspiratorial realm or the skeptical realm, or just really seeking truth, you know, and finding truth to everything. And also the other thing is, like, I know you guys have kind of disagreements about health and Western and Eastern medicine. And I'm kind of like with both of you guys, where I do think there's benefits to Western medicine. It's actually saved my life. But I also think that there's a lot of natural methods that are being repressed. And we're seeing this with the hydrochloroquine, with those doctors were coming forward, and now it's getting, you know, erased off the internet. So I just didn't know what y'all's take was on that.
Isn't that funny? There were so many people watching that press conference live with all of the doctors, you know, and people were like, holy crap, they're getting information that they never knew before, because the mainstream media doesn't cover it. And because it was shared so many times, and because it had such humongous outpouring of support on the actual live stream, of course, fucking Twitter and Google and YouTube took the shit down.
That's insane.
What do you think about that, Matt?
No, I mean, it's what you guys know, because we did the episode, like, I have open heart surgery and all that. It's just like, dude, you're suppressing information that is, you know, life-saving.
Right.
Simple.
Well, you know, the really funny thing about this is the doctor that led that, her name is Dr. Simone Gold. She's a doctor and a lawyer. She's a researcher as well. She's actually right in your backyard, Mr. Matt.
Oh, really?
So anyway, she actually, all this group of doctors that gave this wonderful press conference, right, actually got to meet with Vice President Pence removing the blockade from prescribing that medication for the general public, or making it go generic like other countries have.
Sure.
Is that not fantastic?
I just went, and actually me and Janet were talking about this, like, for my heart condition, I have to take 4 pills a day. And actually I just went and got back and got my 3 of the 4 refilled.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I have to take pills since I have this artificial valve, like it or not. I mean, I have to take them forever, you know. And it's just like, I don't care if I have generic or not to me. And it's like, you know, I don't pay for any of mine right now anyway. So it's all good for me.
I think for me, it's just the more options, you know, like an open market, you know, that's really what it needs to be, because the market always seems to write itself. I think that's the main issue that a lot of people are having, is the bottlenecking. And the other thing is, you know, I know you guys have way more experience with this, but even just my limited time of working in a doctor's office, you have drug reps that come in and push specific drugs
constantly.
Sure. You know, and I saw that on a daily basis. And so that, you know, so then I started noticing that when I would have my doctor's appointments, they'd be pushing the drugs that the drugs reps were coming in. I was like, all right, what kind of kickbacks are they getting?
Exactly.
And then, you know, mm-hmm. and And I understand that's going to occur, but I do believe that, you know, the more information, the more transparency too, and the more options that we have are going to create a healthy market, you know, that will also, you know, benefit everybody, you know.
And they'll, you know, to know the funniest shit about the drug reps, diabetes reps would come in, and every time, okay, these reps always bring food into your office, like always. The drug reps would always bring shit that was really high in sugar.
That's so funny because it's true.
Like 15 bags of candy bars or, you know, like whatever kind of sweets or something. It was always something that was like loaded with sugar. And I'm like, are you like trying to make us all diabetic so you can turn around and sell us your insulin or your pills or whatever you're pushing?
That's right.
I mean, give me a fucking break. Who does that?
That's like having a 450-pound trainer, you know, when you're trying to lose
exactly.
weight.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly essentially what it is.
That is really super helpful.
Yeah.
I'm going to look just like you, Billy Bob.
This elephant is teaching me nothing. I just don't understand why I'm not getting any results. Good God. Stop.
But it's just interesting that all this stuff's coming around full circle because, you know, when I first got into this same suppression of holistic medicine was happening back then.
Right.
And it's here's the other crazy thing is the same person that wrote the hit piece on this doctor pushing the hydrochloroquine wrote the hit piece on Tommy G, who is my cousin and the host of No Mercy podcast. So it's like, so we're thinking ourselves like, okay, there has to be an apparatus in place that is literally in charge of, you know, taking some of these people down and discrediting.
Right.
Them, you know, I mean, what are the odds that the same person that wrote the hit piece on my cousin is writing the hit piece on this doctor? You know?
Right. Exactly.
And by the way, quoting a Rothschild in the hit piece too.
Isn't
it nice? Not like the Rothschilds have a fuck thing to do with any of the medical suppression along with the Rockefellers. Yeah. Neither one of those families have anything to do with suppression.
Mm. So, you know, I mean, that just kind of goes into just suppression in general, because even today, you know, we're having the hearings with a lot of these big tech companies. We're seeing a purge of accounts related to QAnon and related to, you know, other various accounts, even Donald Trump's account getting, you know,
removing messages.
Yeah, removing messages and all that stuff's coming around. And you know, that's my second big thing is censorship. And I know Matt understands this. You know, being in the music industry is that our number one fight is censorship. It always has been, even in the 80s when you had Twisted Sister going to speak and you had panels set up against, you know, the parental advisory. And it was always set up as if it was a right wing operation. But then you had like Tipper Gore and people like that getting involved.
I was just going to say Tipper Gore was the one who started that whole shit to put censorship on records.
Right.
And Joe Lieberman was in on it, too.
And Lieberman. Yeah, Lieberman was involved. Right. And that's why it frustrates me to no end when I see bands like Rage Against the Machine and some of my other like favorite musicians going almost full socialist. Because I'm sitting here thinking like, your name is Rage Against the Machine. Okay, you are raging against the quote unquote the machine. The machine is the deep state. The machine is the apparatus trying to control us. Okay. And what is the machine doing right now? The machine is suppressing. The machine is trying to discredit the current administration. The machine is trying to control you. And I'm like, okay, maybe you should change your name to Rage on behalf of the machine, you know, because that's really what you're doing.
You know what's funny about those guys, dude? I went and saw them at the Olympic Auditorium about 20 years ago. It's actually a DVD show that you could look it up. And I always said this. I was all about the band, but to me, you cannot rage against the machine when you're on Sony. You're part of the machine.
And
Shut the fuck up.
You're playing in Capital One Arena charging $125 a ticket.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right. You're the machine,
that's
homie.
For the cheap seats, right?
And I love the band, and I love Tom Morello as a guitarist myself because he does some really cool little tricks.
Oh, he's one of the best guitar players.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, you guys really need to step back and look. You cannot be on a major label and talk shit about the man. Right. I always heard people say that you can't rage against the machine when you're on Sony. And I'm like, so true. So.
It is true.
It is true.
And that's why, you know, like if you really look at it, like some of the old artists, like the Ramones, they were very anti-communism. I even think like Frank Zappa. I mean, if you watch some old Frank Zappa where he's, you know, talking about this, I mean, you know, I don't know if he would call himself a conservative by today's standards, but I sure as hell would like to get Frank Zappa's opinion on the current landscape.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
That's true.
But, you know, and I tell musicians this all the time. They get way too much caught up in the art of the music and not enough in the business. And I tell, you know, because they're always like, how can you be a musician and you're, you know, consider yourself, first of all, I don't really call myself a conservative, but I lean conservative. And I tell themselves, I said, okay, well, what are you essentially when you start a band? You're like an LLC, man. You're a private business. What do you have to do? You have to market. You're a product. You know, you have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you have to set up merchandise. You have to sell your brand. I mean, you're doing all these things that a small business would do. And if you don't understand that element of it, then, you know, you're missing out on a large chunk of it. Like, oh, I'm not a sellout. I'm like, all right, well, you know, essentially everybody's selling out, you know, to a certain extent. Like you can keep it real and keep, you know, charging, you know, $5 a show and not being able to pay rent. I'm going to go the other option and try to, you know.
It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business.
It's a business. It's 90% business. And a lot of guys, like when I was out here, like my band, dude, my Gutter Sluts band was one of the worst bands I've ever been in. The record did not turn out how I wanted. The singer took over the project. It wasn't master. I mean, dude, you can go down the list, but it's like our shows sold out because we had Gutter Slut condom keychains. We had t-shirts. The shirts on the back said, I want to be a slut. I was an artist, so I could design everything. It was very easy to do.
And everybody's that's like, why, yeah.
You got to be a businessman.
People like Gene Simmons, they understand the game better than anybody.
He knew that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You're a living, you can buy Kiss product.
People thought he was insane.
No.
Yeah. They're brilliant.
You can get buried in a Kiss coffin. You can buy a Kiss coffin and get buried in it.
They are brilliant.
If you wanted to.
They are the most brilliant marketing people ever. And it doesn't matter what to them, and they know it. Dude, Paul Stanley knows he's not the best guitar player, but he's Paul Stanley, and he plays the part. And if he sells the part, and he's been selling us the part since the '70s, and it's great, you know?
Yeah. And it makes perfect sense. And that's kind of the model that, you know, I go after when my music is just understanding that element of it. Cause you know how it is, like a lot of these, and this is in any industry, like even in, you know, intellectualism, you know, you have these people at the top that sit there and just, you know, jerk each other off and talk about how smart they are. Right. But they're not appealing to the mass crowd. Same thing in music. There's a lot of, you know, musicians that just like sit there and try to impress each other. You know, it's just like they're just constantly trying to one up each other, but they're missing the main point, which is engaging with the audience.
I call that the progressive, nothing against progressive music, but I call that like the progressive crowd. Like I went and I saw Dream Theater.
Right.
I love
Dream Theater.
I love bands like Yes.
Yeah.
But like, dude, me, I grew up as Janet. I was the guy like Motley Crue and Poison. Dude, how funny. I end up being CeCe DeVille's house cleaner. I mean, no, I'm not joking. It was the weirdest thing in the world, you know? But he was always.
Did you wear a fantastic little sexy outfit while you were doing that?
No. And actually, the thing that was funny.
Damn it, Matt.
When he found out I was from Indiana, he had a girlfriend whose nickname was Indiana who lived with him, who was his like crack whore. And he accused me of having sex with her because everybody in those small towns sleeps with everybody else. And dude, he went off on me in a pink Izod and underwear, screaming at me while he was on crack. That's one of my favorite memories of him.
Oh my God, that is so funny. Here's my question to you guys. Speaking of Indiana, so they changed the logo of the Washington now football team, former Redskins. Are they going to get to the point where they change the name of your state from like Indiana to just like, you know, 45th state or whatever number y'all were
we'll
as far as
the I.
Are we ever going to get to that where we're changing cities and states?
Well, they're trying to change. They're trying to change everything else. They're trying to either burn, rewrite, deface history. So there's your Marxism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why not? They've went this far. Why stop now? Right. At least till November 4th.
Well, exactly.
Let's just erase everything, you know, Eskimo pies, those are racist and cancel culture needs to come after them because, oh my God, we don't want to offend the Eskimos.
I saw that guy's video. Yeah, that was funny.
I saw this really great video and I actually brought up a good point. So you're canceling Aunt Jemima, you're canceling Uncle Ben, you're canceling Land of Lakes, right? All these minority, you know, whatever you want to call it, marketing, whatever. But then you keep Lucky Charms, right, which has a white guy, and you keep like Mr. Clean, and it's almost like you're counterproductive because you're whitewashing, you know, all these.
Right.
Exactly.
By doing that, you're whitewashing it, you know. And I thought that was really funny. And then you have, you know, you have teams like the Fighting Irish, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm half Irish. Right. I could easily say that I'm offended by that.
That's another Indiana thing. Yep.
That's true.
Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Change the Yankees. Change the Yankees name. If you're really going to start doing that, you know, let's
what point do you cut it off? Exactly. Right.
Indiana is known as the Hoosier State. So maybe that's offensive to some people being called a Hoosier.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
so,
but,
I mean,
you open the floodgates.
Or the Buckeye.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Ohio State Buckeyes, because then you're discriminating against other trees.
Mm.
You know what? You really hit a chord with me right there, man. You really got me at the trunk of the matter. I mean,
you know what I just started thinking about? I just started thinking about that. I started thinking about that Rush song, The Trees, which is really about trees oppressing other trees.
Right. Right. We're going to have to write a Karen progressive Rush song about trees.
Oh boy. That will be a doozy. I want to hear that when that masterpiece is completed.
But progressivism has really turned into regressivism, because I thought it was really symbolic that the Redskins went from, you know, that mascot to just changing their name to football team, because that's
the
really
Washington football team.
Yeah, because that's when you stifle language like that, you stifle creativity. And one of the reasons why I love this country so much, and I stress this a lot, is that a great way to gauge how free a society is through their art and culture. And what culture is more renowned around the world than American culture? You don't see Chinese music and art, you know, being spread around the world. Why? It's because they're so suppressed by the CCP. And so, you know, that's why I just don't understand, you know, how all these entitled people are trying to do away with the one country that really has the most freedom. Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like in any relationship, like, we have major flaws that need to be worked on. But, you know, to just like seeing what I'm seeing right now and what I'm seeing through the left, like, you know, just they look at the American flag as almost as if it's like the new Confederate flag, is like a symbol of racism and divisiveness, which is unbelievable to me. You know?
Right, which is so funny, because if it wasn't for the United States, people in other countries wouldn't get abortions. They wouldn't have clean water. They wouldn't have medications. They wouldn't have vaccinations. Mm-hmm. That was funny. But, you know, they wouldn't have purse strings, you know, and mm-hmm. a money bag to go dig into, because the United States capitalist society is what funds all these other fucking communist nations, people.
Right, right.
100%.
Right. And that's why our consumer base is always what's going to keep us strong and keep us in competition as the dominant superpower of the world, you know? So, God bless America.
Amen to that.
Oh,
and you
man.
Know what that just made me think of?
What's that?
Everybody was kung flu fighting. The mask are really quite frightening. Ooh, ha. Anyway, sorry about that.
That was a good segue. That was a really good segue.
Thank you very much.
You're getting good.
I have to say, I watched a video the other day that made me fucking chuckle. Somebody said it to me. It was a guy that has his own YouTube channel, and he decided to go to Target shopping while wearing a mask, although it was a Zorro mask. Nothing over his nose, nothing over his mouth. And they're like, "Sir, that's really offensive. You can't shop here." And he's like, "Well, then I suggest you call the police, because I'm wearing a mask. It said on your door to wear a mask. I'm doing exactly what it says. I'm wearing a mask." And so they're following him through the store going, "Okay, well, you're going to have to come out with us, because we're going to show you what our mandate says." And he's absolutely correct. It doesn't say you have to wear it over your nose or mouth. It just says you have to wear a mask. And that's exactly what he did.
That's fucking brilliant, man.
You know what's frightening to me is
more power to people. Amen.
What I'm
going to wear a fucking squirrel mask.
Squirrel mask. What I'm noticing with this mask. So in my current band, I'm the elder of the band, and the other members of the band are between the age of 21 and 25. So we had a rehearsal earlier this week. They are handling this situation completely different. They are very, very paranoid, really, literally. They're very paranoid about the situation. It's almost like it really is, and I used to hate to make this comparison, but it really is. This is their 9/11. This is their 9/11 mode. Because I remember the paranoia I had as an 18-year-old, right? And then I bought into all of it and the Patriot Act and all these other things that were, you know, ended up really just suppressing our own privacy and violating the Fourth Amendment. But I remember the paranoia I had, and they have the same paranoia of buying into, you know, and like I said, I don't think this is a total hoax or anything, but just the looks on their faces as they came in the door, and the sticking to the 6 feet apart, and, you know, they just looked scared. You know, they looked scared and they looked defenseless. And it was almost sad to see that, to be honest with you.
You know what I think it is?
What's that?
They're highly intimidated by your sexy man bod.
Which it is a man bod. I haven't worked out in about 3 months, so.
Dude, it is a man bod. I don't like little boy bods. I'm not into that sort of thing.
She's not into the Adam Schiff collection.
Oh, the Adam Schiff and the Tony Podesta. No.
You mean it's not standard?
Ow.
Like little boys.
Ouch. That was
ouch. Put that in your fucking pouch and smoke it.
That's awesome. Standard hotel.
Thanks.
Standard hotel.
Thanks.
I used to work, no shit, in downtown LA. I worked right across the street from the Standard on 6th and Flower. No shit. You can look it up.
You got any beef on the Standard? You got any opinions on it? You know, one way or another?
Not really. It is the one that there's a couple of them. There's like one in, I think, Hollywood or West Hollywood too, but they're nice. I mean, they're low price. They used to be abandoned bank buildings and they just renovated them.
You know, cause just the whole thing behind the Standard Hotel is, you know, even if you go on the websites, you know, very, you know, has like a lot of the pizza related stuff and just,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who else likes to go to the Standard Hotel?
Who's that?
A certain reporter that talks shit about your brother or your cousin.
Will Summer. Really?
Will Summer likes Comet Ping Pong, and Will Summer has been pictured in the Standard Hotel bar before.
So he is the hitman.
I wonder why Will Summer is writing shit pieces on other people right now. Because guess what? The judge in the Ghislaine Maxwell case said, fuck you, we're not suppressing evidence. Sorry about that. And everything was ordered to be released by July the 30th and posted on the website.
Oh, man.
So, hello, bitches. What you doing a Twitter purge for, motherfuckers?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask. Is like, do you think that's why they're purging all these accounts right now?
A to the fucking man. That's exactly what they're doing.
Dude, did you guys hear that Tom Hanks and his wife became Greek citizens? I don't know if that's true or not.
Sure they did. Yeah, supposedly they are. But there again, she was supposedly on the beach. Right. Posing for pictures, and then the reflection in her glasses showed somebody's living room. So,
it's so weird with those guys.
CGI fakery shit going on.
It's one of two things. Either it's a calm, you know, some kind of calm, or, you know, they're evading. Now, I did, and maybe you guys know a little bit more about this, but I looked up the treaty. You said there is an extradition clause, but it says with reciprocity, and I don't know what the hell that means. Also, you know, a lot of people have posted that you know, like the age of consent in Greece is 15, and also they have leniency towards pedophiles, and they consider it like a what do they consider it, like an illness or something, like
illness,
a mental illness
disorder? Yeah.
Gee, right. I wonder why
Jesus
the Hanks family would want to move to Greece.
Yeah,
that's really weird to me, huh?
So, you know, and I did a YouTube video on Hanks's Instagram, which I'll share at some point. I don't even know what my fucking YouTube channel is. I wish I could plug it, but I don't know. Just I'll I'll find it and I'll post it. But it was just a 2-minute video, just literally just scrolling through Tom Hanks' Instagram. So at the time I made it, he had 210 posts total in 6 years. And over a third of them were just pictures of random, like, children's gloves, shoes, socks, laying on the ground with very cryptic captions, you know? Mm-hmm. And it looked, you know, it just looks like calm. It looks like a calm. It looks like, you know, like the same type of calm that a handler would have, you know? And
right.
It just explained to me, with all the movies that you've done, with all the places you've been, all the celebrities you've seen, you're telling me your Instagram feed isn't going to consist of these really cryptic pictures of, like, articles of clothing lying on the ground? Like, what right. the hell does that even mean? And now he's disabled his comments because everybody's posting pizza all over his comments.
And think about, like, Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, gross.
And the fucked up shit she was posting.
Oh.
And then she's celebrating that Tommy got removed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bitch, you don't even know, because people are fucking smart. They screen captured and saved your shit for a long time.
Yeah.
Because this movement is not new. Truth seekers have been around for a very long time.
Well, I remember 2 years ago, I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, and this was actually, like, really when I was in the height of following Q, and there was a lot of stuff going on in the airports, airport blackouts and things mm-hmm. of that nature. And we thought mm-hmm. there was ops going on at the time, you know, black ops. You
right.
know? And so there was one instance in which Chrissy Teigen was live tweeting from inside an airplane in which they were heading to Japan, I believe, and they turned the plane around midair and went back to the United States. And there were, you know, I don't know which branch of the military escorting people off the plane. And they actually, you know, went into, like, an investigating room. So mm-hmm. a lot of people thought that John Legend and Chrissy Teigen got taken at that particular moment. So, mm-hmm. You know, that I remember that was 2 years ago. And then people were outing her in 2018 at the same time, because, like, there were pictures of her, like, dressing her kid up in, like, pizza outfits. And then some of the other weird right. shit she was saying about, like, toddlers and tiaras and
right.
Yeah.
And little kids doing the splits and how it makes her, like, so hot.
Yeah.
Kind of crap.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I vomit up my dinner from last night.
Which was a good Gross. Dinner, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I like to feed you.
Yes, she does.
Makes me happy.
I had it. Yeah, it's really good. But yeah, Matt, you're missing the deplorable Janet autonomous zone, man. We have a lot of fun out there. And Janet's a fantastic cook. Fantastic cook.
I might just show up. You never know, man.
Please do.
You know what? You should. You should totally pack up your daughter and come out here and just fucking chill.
Oh, yeah. God.
You should.
You never know.
I would love that. She would love it too.
Oh, I know she would. When I took her back to Indiana, she was, like, going crazy. She's like, so much, there's so much greenery. There's so much space because everything out here, everyone's stacked on top of each other, you know?
So Matt, I wanted to get your opinion. One of the best videos I saw was 4th of July, LA, when, you know, you had that order not to shoot off fireworks and they were just being shot off fucking everywhere.
It was really good. It was a good one.
Was that, what did it look like from your vantage point?
I think I'd put up a video on the same day because I was out, you know, just here in the neighborhood looking around. Everybody was outside. Everybody. Hmm. No one had masks on. Everybody, I swear, people were, like, partying in the streets. I have neighbors who, I'm not kidding you, every year they'll get a permit to block off 3 blocks and they have a block party on the 4th of July. Hmm. It was even more lit than that. I guess they wouldn't allow them to do it this year, but I've never seen it. And I've been out here 27 years probably. I've never seen it like that. It was what they showed on TV was real. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it almost looked CGI. There was so much going off.
No. I mean, every block, dude, there was literally, you'd have 4 and 5 families per block lighting it off. It was
insane. So what is that? What do you think that means to you, or just, like, as a symbol, you know, like,
people are tired of being told what to do and people are tired of staying inside. It was pretty much that simple to me. You know,
is California waking up?
I've been seeing a lot of encouraging stuff online, to be honest. I think so. I think there's always been a lot of it, but it's just, again, if you're going to get your head smacked open with a ball bat for just mm-hmm. saying your opinion about somebody, I think a lot of times people are going to choose on the side of safety.
Do you kind of, I think, sorry, do you kind of, when you're walking around LA, are you less likely to be vocal, or are you more likely to be vocal, or, you know, or does it just depend on where you are and who you're with? Or,
well, I've lived here long enough to know, and like I lived in Hollywood 12 years. I mean, I grew up in Hollywood. To me, I was 20. I had my 21st birthday in Hollywood. It was amazing. It lasted four days. I mean, it's like I've learned so much, and I've got a big mouth, but I think coming out here, I know when to speak and when not to. And just because I can, a lot of times I'd rather just be smart about it. I don't want to run up to somebody and just start something. But then again, I'm 48 years old. Now, when I was 25, I'd probably run up and tell you to go, you know, lick my rim or something. I don't know.
You mean like I do?
Yeah. You know, kind of Janet style.
I don't have a filter. Yeah, I don't.
But I think that's something I've learned. I just try to be respectful of people. I mean, I've met everybody from out here, from, no kidding, Russian gangbangers to Armenian, you know, mobsters to, I mean, you name it. And I treat everybody with the same respect. And it's like, I've never really had much of a problem. But then again, I'm 6'4". So maybe my height.
Well, I'm 5'7". So sometimes I don't get that same respect, but
you know what I mean?
I was going to say, and you know, some of the new Corona studies that come out, men that are over 6 foot tall are more likely to get coronavirus.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know what?
I catch a break.
I get Pabst Blue Ribbon virus. When I first came out here, I probably had coronavirus because you could buy it by the fucking case. So now I'm Pabst Blue Ribbon virus.
Is that contagious? I want some of that.
It is, and I bleed red, white, and blue.
That's awesome, man. But now I'm seeing, you know, there's like, you know, there's a lot of defecting too. Like even Joe Rogan is moving from LA to Texas now, you know.
Elon Musk, right? I think he left too. Dude, you know, my like I said, my girlfriend's a native, my kid's here. I mean, when my kid turns 18, who knows what's going to happen? But I mean, I always look at it like this. I even said it at my kid's school because I went off on them literally every year. It's so funny. And they must think I'm crazy, but I'm like, dude, I think I got more balls than anybody at school because they all just blindly follow what you say. And if I see a problem, I was always taught to raise my hand and say, I don't like this. I see a problem and let's try to fix it.
Right.
Right.
And I do that every year. And I know that they're glad this is my last year because every year I've like really, you know, brought up something. But again, it's like, you know, they're doing stuff to me that is pro-socialism, pro-Marxism. And I'm like, I can't stand by and just let you say that.
Well, they are. And exactly. The thing is that, you know, and I got my degree in teaching and I have family members that teach. And, you know, one of my family members is involved in a program that organizes stuff like walkouts. And you know, I'm having a conversation. And they're like, yeah, we organized this walkout. And this one parent was just like against it. And I'm sitting and I said, hello, excuse me real quick. I said, you're organizing a walkout for a specific political agenda and you're wondering why a parent might be opposed to it. I was like, I said, with all due respect, I would be that parent. And I don't think you guys should be in the business of telling children what they should and should not walk out for.
Right.
Even if I agree with it.
Right.
Even if you're walking out for pro-life or you're walking out for gun rights or you're walking out for whatever, like that's not your job.
That's 100% right.
Politicians. They're not. I kept saying that. I go, you're not politicians. You're teachers. I said, you can have all the opinions you want, but within the four walls of this school, I said, none of your opinions matter. And I go, every year, last year it was Colin Kaepernick, or the year before, they're promoting him. And I go, really? I'm like the most un-American guy. And I said, just because all these kids are Hispanic doesn't mean they're going to raise the fist like the Black Lives Matter. Wasn't it funny? The Black Lives Matter logo and the Chinese Communist fist.
Same
logo,
thing.
The exact same.
They're one and the same.
My kid's school has shirts that say grit and it's got a picture of that fist on it. And I kept telling him, I said, dude, you guys are promoting communism and socialism. It's right there in front of us.
Well, it's the same thing with the Antifa logo, right? That was
it's right out of it. Yeah, right out of Germany, right out of it.
It's unbelievable. Exactly. So it's all this stuff is like it's so counterproductive and it's so contradictory.
It's non-progressive, like you're saying.
It's regressive. Yeah, it really is regressive. Right.
Because a lot of their movement with this whole BLM thing that was hijacked. You know, not only is it defund the police now, but it's like you know, all of these other offshoots of stuff. And, you know, you should be able to graffiti the streets and paint murals everywhere and take down, you know, whatever statues and burn whatever books and ban whatever movies and the whole thing. And Judicial Watch actually just sued the Department of Education to get all of the records that are related to the CCP's influence in our institutions.
Oh my God.
Wow. Our educational institutions. I'm just going to say, Judicial Watch, holla. You guys are doing some fucking amazing work, because if it wasn't for Judicial Watch, a lot of shit would not have come to light.
And so thank you
for doing that.
And they use
gotta
the...
They've got to get that communist horseshit out of our education system.
And you know what they do a great job is using something that anybody could use, which is the Freedom of Information Act. They are always putting FOIA requests through. I mean, so yeah, they do great
constantly.
Work. But I mean, you know, even the Chinese admitted to sending spies into our colleges. I mean, like hundreds of thousands, not just like a few, like tens and hundreds of thousands, you know, throughout, you know, the 20-year process. And just
And look at how many of them have been caught recently.
Yeah.
And actually charged with crimes for not only working for like Harvard, Stanford, Yale, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but also selling technology to sister institutes in China, especially Wuhan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, you know.
The China virus. That's why I love it when they call it Kung Flu and the China virus. Let's just call it what it is.
Kung Flu fighting.
Because if you think about it, by that standard, BLM's a China virus, you know?
It is. Right. It is. Because who has the money to fund all of this crap, and who would benefit the most by crashing the economy and crashing the way of life in the United States? Right. I mean, they've already sent in spies. Hell, Senator Dianne Feinstein had a spy for over 20 years.
That's true, she did.
That she claims to winkety-wink not know about while she's on mainstream media on MSNBC.
Right.
Trash News Network, talking about how she set up all these personal, fantastic relationships with the people from China and their Chinese consulate and all these Chinese government officials. But she didn't know her spy was from China. Come on. Bring that lying bullshit forward. Okie dokie.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know anyone that likes her, dude. I've lived out here a long time, and I've talked to tons of neighbors and people, and I don't know anyone, her, Maxine Waters, Pelosi, or Newsom, none of them. None of them. No one. Even the Democrats. Right now. I think a lot of people out here, they're really starting to see it. I think there's going to be a big turnout.
I think so, too.
I really do. I think you'll be surprised. I think it might be 35-40%.
Do you think California might be turning purple at least? You know, like not quite as blue. Like it might be a little bit more purple now. Because I do know there's large concentrations of Republicans. I just don't know if it's increasing or not.
I think that everybody's seeing the optics of the riots and everybody burning and defacing and all that. I mean, come on. My mom's My mom's a longtime Democrat. My dad was too. But like I said to them, the Democratic Party today is not the same as the Democratic Party in the 80s and 90s. Like not even close. And my mom's like sick of it. I go, Mom, point out the Trump supporters. Point out MAGA hats. Point out anyone in that crowd that is a conservative. They're not. They're at home or they're working. They're working a fucking job, you know.
Right.
It's not them. And I think that, look, if you've got half of a brain, do you know how many lawsuits are in Portland right now? Business owners suing the city, right? Because of no protection and telling the police.
Absolutely.
To stand down? I mean, you've got to be out of your ever fucking mind to say, I think I'll just stay with, you know, basement dwelling biting down there sniffing his little niece or whatever.
And that's the thing, because, like, especially like you mentioned in Portland, where the police chief.
Right.
Said
Stand
to
out.
Business owners, I'm sorry, but you're on your own.
Right.
Because the police can't protect you. Bitch, that is your job. I am a fucking taxpayer.
Right. We're telling you to do your job.
I pay your fucking salary. Right. And I think the same thing is going to happen with Governor Newsom and the state of California, because like you can't watch church service at home. You can't sing at home.
Right.
You can't watch televised church service. You can't like nothing. Like you can't sing, you can't dance, you can't this, you can't that. You can't, like we talked on the last show, you can't sell beer with pizza bites, but you can sell beer with pizza. There's so many things that people are just like shit full of. Same thing in New York.
Oh, God.
I think people are going to fucking crucify Cuomo.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
I'd be afraid if I was any of those guys, dude. The balls that you've got to walk around, even if you've got security, dude, at some point, if you have 10 people around you, there's 1,000 outside calling for you. They're not going to help you. You know what I mean? It ain't going to go well.
You know, I've been walking around New York since I was a baby, and I just remember when I was, you know, 8 years old walking around New York, how dangerous it was. And then in my teens, how much it started getting cleaned up under, you know, like Giuliani.
Giuliani was mayor.
Yeah. And it became a very, I mean, for the most part, you know, cities, you're always going to have your issues, but it was a very safe place to walk and travel. And I'm really noticing this return to how New York City was before Giuliani right now. Very scary. Very scary. I mean, because I remember Times Square was just like riddled with just drugs and homelessness and, you know, fucking, it was just like, you know, peep shows and all this stuff just everywhere. Like, you know, it was not a safe place for a family to walk. And it became a very nice tourist attraction. I mean, I'm talking all hours of the night, way into the wee hours of the morning. It felt safe to walk the streets of Manhattan. And it's, you know, just some of the stuff I'm seeing and some of the stuff I'm hearing from family members that are up there, that it's kind of returning to how it was before. So, yeah, I mean, I think there will be some kind of revolt, or there will be defecting, which is, you know, happening in a lot of these places as well. The only problem I have is, or at least the hope is that, okay, if you're leaving these cities and these areas, please
don't bring your
fucking votes with you. You know, there's a reason why Joe Rogan, if you're listening to our podcast, you know, you're leaving LA to go to a red state, Texas. And I know you're probably going to Austin, which probably is the Portland of Texas, but you're still going to fucking Texas. Okay. Which is bleeding red. Leave that vote behind, my friend. Leave that vote behind. Same thing. If you're, you know, immigrating to the United States, there's a reason why you left your country. So adopt, you know,
assimilate.
You want to be patriotic, you know,
assimilate, man. That's
assimilate. Thank you. Assimilate is the word. Yeah. Assimilate. Absolutely. So here's my question to you, Matt. So who are maybe like top three swampiest of the swampies, like politicians? Who's like number one, two, and three?
Out here or just anywhere?
In California.
Oh, God, that's pretty easy.
I know, there's so... Well, shit, if it's easy, give me top five. If you can rank them 5 to 1.
Sure.
1 to 5.
I would say Newsom, because he's in charge and his family's been involved in this since the beginning.
Okay.
You have four families. You have the Brown family, you have the Pelosi family, you have the Newsom family, and you have, big donors. I can't think of the last one, but the fourth
Getty?
One.
Getty.
Gettys. The Gettys. Gettys. There you go. The Gettys. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's big money. I'd say him first. Let's just see. I'm going to make this personal. I'll say him first. Second would be Adam Schiff. Mm. Third would be, let's go with Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth would be probably Dianne Feinstein. And five would be, let's see, who's the fifth one?
Pelosi.
Oh, Pelosi. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Pelosi, actually, I would go Newsom, Pelosi, Schiff, Mad Max. And then whoever's left.
Feinstein. So you know what's crazy is all five of those are just constantly in the news, you know?
Right.
They're constantly in the news, and they're the swampiest of the swamp, and they're always involved in all these, you know, Ukraine hoaxes and out to get Trump. They're the ones that are like the keystones in a lot of this stuff. Remember when was it Feinstein that was she was outside of a hearing, just like it looked like she was just like giving somebody the rundown, like, yo, this is how it's
oh yeah
be.
Oh yeah, no, she's going off. Yeah. she'll go off on people. She doesn't
Lisa
care.
Murkowski.
Yes. Yeah, that's
you don't mess with her. She will. She'll read you a riot act. She was reading the riot act to these kids a while back, like a year ago. There was a video you guys may have seen about it. And they were coming in, and it was about climate change. And she told all the kids, she's like, you don't know how this works, blah, blah, blah. Was basically saying she wasn't going to do anything and to, you know, come back later. I was dying. I was like, dude, she's brutal. But these are all people who've been – you've seen the meme. It's like, how can this guy who's been in Trump for 3.5 years – be responsible for the problems of the past 40, 50, 60, you know, look at Biden.
And they're not, because look at how long Dianne Feinstein has been in office.
Yeah, long.
You know what I'm saying? And Adam Schiff, Mr. Sweetheart Media Darling Russiagate hoax that he is, you know, and liar, leaker, et cetera, et cetera. Adam Schiff got some shady ass deals through BlackRock Investing, where they sold illegal nuclear weapons to Ukraine.
Mm.
So, just saying, little Schiffy boy, your time is coming, and you're not going to have a suite at the Standard Hotel. You're going to have a little cell at Gitmo.
Well, speaking of which, we watched that video that showed that, you know, how much construction has gone on in Gitmo and how much
has expanded.
Yeah.
Now, why would you need to expand something that Obama wanted to close?
Right.
Because it wasn't necessary to have it.
Yeah, I mean, Trump's alluded to Guantanamo Bay quite a bit. You know, you see a lot in the Anon community where they're saying, hey, there's being deployment, you know, reserves are going down there and it's hush hush. And even the
you
QAnon.
Check it on their flight patterns.
Yes. That's what
You got people that post the military flight stuff.
So in the Anon community, we call these people autists. And in no way is it like, you know, a degrading or anything term. It's actually a term that's like holds you on a pedestal, just a dedicated person, you know, that's highly concentrated on one aspect. So you have these people that just literally sit around and just watch flight patterns. Like that's what they do. They just watch flight patterns, flights taking off and landing on radar. And when they notice something, you know, irregularities in flight patterns, they post about it. And it's amazing how there's dedicated autists out there. It's funny, the term for them are plane fags. And so they'll sign on, they'll be like, hey, plane fag here. I've been looking at the radar and there's a lot of planes going, you know, to Guantanamo Bay. And they're like, oh, thank you for your service, Mr. Plane Fag. You know, it's like, you know.
Man, I'd love to do a job like that. It'd be fine. Hi, Flight 747. You're coming in too fast.
Fasten your seatbelt, bitches. We're going high.
Sit down. I don't care if you've got hemorrhoids or not. I told you to sit. Oh, God.
Sorry, I hope no one's offended, but, you know, we are not quite right here.
And basically, the message I was trying to say was don't fly with hemorrhoids. Anyway.
Don't fly with hemorrhoids. Yeah, so, you know, can take that term any which way you want it. But, you know, it reminded me of, and this is why, like even the QAnon community, and, you know, people can say what you want, but, you know, you don't censor bullshit. You censor things that are over the target. You know what I'm saying? Like areas where, oh gosh, this is going to be a real danger, a real deep threat to the deep state. So this purge of QAnon activity is just what's called a Q proof, which is just kind of showing that, okay, there is something to this anonymous community, you know, but the whole thing about it is that it's not about what QAnon is. It's about the people and the dissemination of the information, you know, and that it's amazing what happens when you have a collective group of people that are dedicated towards research, you know, and dedicated towards uncovering things and using information that's already there and already readily available. It's just that nobody has tapped into it. And that's what I find really interesting with everything that's going on. And that to me is what the Great Awakening is. So the one positive about this coronavirus is that a lot of people are sitting at home doing nothing in research.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of new people out here that, you know, before this happened, our No Mercy podcast, our downloads have doubled since COVID hit. It's because there's no sports. A lot of people are working from home or not working at all. They're sitting on their computers and they're finally saying, what the fuck is happening? what is going on in the news, they're finally watching the news cycles and realizing that this is bullshit. This is fake news. This is, you know, sensationalist journalism. It's infotainment. It does not help. And they're starting to finally tap into what's going on. So it's a revelation what's happening. So I think that, you know, I always try to find the silver lining in the positive, and that's the one thing that I think is we can take away from this, is that I really think because of this, there's a possibility we might have a landslide in the next election.
I almost guarantee that we are, because look at even Nadler's interview on the street the other day.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was like, oh, like Antifa, there's no rioting, it's all peaceful protests and stuff, like burning of buildings and stuff. That's a myth.
I know.
Like, and then guess what? In the hearing yesterday with AG Barr, they put together a beautiful video that Jim Jordan played with all of the destruction and rioting and looting and all that shit, and it was like a 6-minute video for his opening speech yesterday in the committee. It was fantastic.
Well, dude, the way they kept shooting down Barr, remember, they're like, time, recall time, right. They just kept doing that,
reclaiming my time.
Yeah,
reclaiming my time.
So they gave him all of the Republicans, I guess, gave all of their time combined right over so that he could speak. It's like, dude, I don't care. Look, I said this to my mom, this isn't about party anymore. It really is about good versus evil. And I mean, if you don't see it by now, then you're willing to let everybody, you know, burn and die and have all these issues. It's like, dude, come on. Even during, you know, it's funny to me, even during this pandemic and during all of this, the economy has actually kind of maintained itself.
It's unbelievable.
Not that bad. I mean, seriously, think about it.
Unbelievable.
But Orange Man bad, you know, right? Orange Man bad.
I know. It's all, everything's his fault. It's all his fault. It's kind of like me. Everything's my fault too.
I lost my car keys. Orange Man's fault. I gained 50 pounds. Orange Man's fault. My balls fell into my left shoe. Orange Man's fault.
Same thing. It's like I jumped off a building. COVID death. But I had coronavirus.
Oh,
I
know. Yeah, there's another one. Oh, God.
We gotta classify that. Yes,
he jumped off a building. However, at the time he had coronavirus, COVID death.
Right.
It wasn't the fact that he hit the ground at 215 miles an hour. Nothing to do with it. Not a thing.
It's just crazy. And this is what I told the members of my band. I said, listen, I understand. You know, I'm gonna, you know, be respectful of your space, everything. I said, I just want you to think about this. The reaction that everybody's having to this virus, you would think that there was a zombie apocalypse. You would think that there were people dropping in the streets, coughing up blood and just
nuclear war. Yeah, they act like it's nuclear holocaust or something.
Right. And you can tell every time I walk into a convenience store, a restaurant, gas station, whatever, you can tell somebody's political ideology based on how serious
they look at you.
Sure.
Yes. Or just, you know.
It's those angry eyes through their over their mask.
You
know what,
tell.
Bob? Yeah. I got a story for you real quick. I tried out for a band about a year ago. I tried out for this band. Mm-hmm. And I knew one of the guys in the band. He was a singer. And he used to work with me in the financial district in downtown L.A. Great songs. I love the band. I love what they're doing. No shit. I go into the rehearsal in Hollywood, and I know Hollywood's more liberal, right? Mm-hmm. I go in there, and I'm not shitting you, dude. First thing, everything. Global warming. I mean, drummer's talking global warming. The other guy starts talking about Trump. I'm like, I looked at him, and I go, are we Rage Against the Machine? Are we a political band? Are we, you know, are anything to do with that? They go, no. And I go, look, I don't care politically what side you're on, but I came here to play music. I didn't come here to talk politics.
Right.
Dude, they, you know what was worse? I killed the audition. They love me and I love them. And I was just honest with them. I said, I got to be honest. I want nothing to do with you guys. And they're like, why not? And I said, I'm just being honest. I said, I am a supporter of the president. I'm a supporter of my country. And I was like, I don't care how great we are. I'll never play with you guys. I just can't. I'm sorry.
No,
right, because it's toxic.
I can't.
It's toxic. That energy is toxic.
The guys that you're playing with, and I know you're going to laugh, but I'm going to tell you, as an older guy who's played longer, I would tell them they're all pussies. They're on their own, and I quit. I'm serious.
I would do that. But wait, I would do that, except we have a wedding book this weekend for like 3 G's. So,
do you make your money, But I'm just saying, dude, like how I've been in bands, I played in a country band about 2 years ago. It's the first band I've ever played. It was a real good country band. We had a lesbian singer, and me and her got along so well. The manager totally ruined the band, not to go off on a tangent here, but no. I mean, it was just like, you know, but again, you could tie it into being Republican or Democrat. Funny, they tried to replace me with four other people over a course of a year, and nobody could, you know, fit. You got to have that chemistry.
Yes.
And I'm like, you can't just pull that out of the air. And I was like, you're never going to find anyone like me. I'm sorry, but me and the chick got along really good. Her girlfriend liked me. We were all like buddies. And it was always that one person on the side, which kind of reminds me of people in our government who would fuck shit up, who would say nope, or like John McCain, you thumbs up and then thumbs down at the last minute. Remember when he did all that shit? You know what I mean? It's just like, my dad calls it playing sneaky Pete. You know, people sit there and they'll look you in the face like being a snake. They'll say one thing, but last minute they just turn on you and they go for the throat, you know?
Yeah, but you know, even in the music industry, and the reason why I bring it up is because one, I'm familiar with it, but also there's a lot of metaphors. Like, I use this metaphor all the time. It's like, okay, you want to talk about diversity. Let me explain something to you. All right, let's say I had a band and I had to meet a quota where I had to have one, you know, Hispanic, one white person, one black person, one female. Right. But what if the white person was a shittier guitar player than, let's say, a black guitar player, or the Hispanic drummer might have been worse than a white drummer? It's can you play? So if my band is me and three black guys and it's a better band and we're just diverse because it just happens to be that way, but it sounds good, then there you go. It's diversity naturally. But exactly. The forced diversity is detrimental. It is not strength. Diversity is not strength when it's forced. If it's natural, then let it occur natural. But everything about this movement is synthetic, and you're seeing stuff like NBC saying, we're going to hire 50% this, 50% that. And so now you're going to hire based on trivial shit rather than, okay, what are your credentials and everything like that? You know, equality of opportunity. And I totally understand that some people start life behind the eight ball, you know, and
only the coke addicts, but go ahead.
Yeah, literally. Right. Well, actually, yeah, I mean, there are crack babies. So, I mean, you are right, literally starting, you know, but, and I understand that, you know, people listen, you know, there's different situations, but golly, I mean, this diversity of strength shit is so counterproductive, and it never works, and they keep trying to force it in. And, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to me. It never has, because I go by the hacker ethic and by the musician ethic. Can you play? If you can play, you're in the band. If you can hack it, then you're hired. You know, if you're the best person for the job, then you get the fucking job. And that's really where my mentality has been, you know, for the last 10 years, you know. Because I used to be the person, I voted Democrat, and I used to be the person spewing all the rhetoric. You know, whatever it is at the time, like, you know, from using Orwellian terms, the new speak, you know, whatever the new language is that they're pushing for people to speak, you know, systemic racism, xenophobia, you know, all this other shit. I would spew all that lingo, you know, as it was popping out. And that's a subversion tactic. And that's why, to me, it's not that I have a problem with my liberal friends. It's the fact that the left right now is the Trojan horse for all of this stuff. And the reason why they chose the left is because the people on the left are impressionable. A lot of them are very good people. They're just impressionable for many reasons.
Right.
One, they may not have a solid foundation. They may not have a solid family structure. They're not solid in their beliefs. They're young. They're impressionable. They're straight out of college. And, you know, whether or not you believe in God, you know, that's part of it too. That's part of the whole foundation too. So they're attacking I don't want to say the weak, but they're attacking the impressionable. And you know how musicians are, Matt. We're very impulsive, right? We're very,
God.
We self-doubt all the time. That's all we do. And
worst
so that,
enemy. Yeah.
Yeah, we're our own worst enemy. So
true.
That makes us more susceptible towards being targeted by whether it's psychopathic people or psychopathic governments or psychopathic entities or authoritarians. And then we become part of the Stockholm syndrome. We start developing Stockholm syndrome for this kind of stuff. So realistically, when your liberal friend is arguing with you and not becoming your friend anymore, they're sick. If you're willing to ruin a 20-year friendship over a vote, you have an illness.
No, yeah,
you literally do. You have a syndrome. You have Stockholm syndrome. And yeah. So that's why I think it is. I really just think it's a Trojan horse. And that's why I like Trump's tweet today. He said, Joe Biden is a Trojan horse for extreme leftist ideology. And that's why he's running. And he's so true.
Right.
He's so correct.
So right about that.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. If to me, if any, I don't give a shit who they'd pick on the Dem side, whoever gets in, if somebody would, they would just absolutely haul off and steal the shit out of this, which I'm praying. And I don't think they will, but you know, they're going to try. Dude, I'm not kidding you. Somebody of their side gets in, I will be officially shitting my pants. I will too. Look at Kamala Harris. Look at that bullshit. She was saying, oh, if we get back and we get power, we're going to take you fucking people down. I was like, damn.
Yeah, and she's scary.
They're not playing.
Can I just mention on that? Okay. A couple of weeks ago, they started scrubbing her history off the internet, which is what they do. So they scrubbed her, you know, prosecution history and whatnot as a DA and all that other shit. So anyway, and then she appears and it doesn't even look like her. And then they're like, oh, she had plastic surgery.
No, dude. Her eyes were black, dude. She looked fucking evil.
That was so scary, man.
Okay. So everybody keep that in mind, that she looks like a demon now. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I get an email first thing this morning that Politico, wink, accidentally, wink, posted a story where Biden announced his VP pick as Kamala Harris.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. And he's going to announce it August 1st or something like that.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. It makes
a wink, wink accident, kind of like the wink, wink, all the accidents of the, oh my God, all the coronavirus reporting and the company that said 600,000 military troops were all positive for coronavirus when in all actuality they were all negative. And oh my God, Florida, is an algorithm problem. Oh, it was an error. There is sure as shit a lot of errors lately, are there not?
Mm. I think, if you want to go full conspiracy, you cannot rule out the fact that they installed some kind of MK Ultra fucking Kamala Harris clone. I mean,
damn straight they did, because
that's not her. That,
whatever the hell that was on TV, that was not fucking her.
That's some get out shit.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, oh, I can tell you though. I'll tell you what. If they are going to pick her, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that will be a landslide for Trump. There's no doubt in my mind. Right. No one likes her out here.
People
no
hate her guts.
No one. None of the natives like her, and they don't like her because she panders to the blacks when she's Jamaican.
Right.
But she fits the identity politics. You know, lot of people vote based on identity, unfortunately.
Well, that's because that you know, they made him promise that he would pick a black female running mate.
Well, right. Then they got to keep looking. And the only hole that got filled was where Mayor Willie Brown out here banged her back in the 80s. That's the only hole that got filled.
That hole got filled hard.
Yeah. Are you sure you don't do stand-up comedy, Matt? You don't go over to the comedy store and do a couple of sets?
I do look a lot like Chevy Chase, but I'm sitting down right now, so no stand-up.
You do look – oh, okay. I got to envision a Chevy Chase sitting in a –
sitting over here being a smart ass, everybody's favorite white guy in East LA, right?
Hey, here's my question. Do you like stand up comedy? I know LA is like a hotbed for it.
I mean, actually, back in the day when I lived in Hollywood, I'll tell you one thing. The Laugh Factory was one of the best places to go. And if you were a poor musician or a poor actor, writer, whatever, they'd give you a free Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
No, I'm serious. And it was really nice. So, yeah, I used to go to the Laugh Factory, the comedy store. I got some friends that are like comedians and actors. But with all of this going on, I don't know. I'm happy to stay at home. I draw. I do all my creative stuff.
Sure. Well, one of the reasons why I was asking is because I noticed that they're starting to cut comedy. You know, and they really have been, honestly, really since Chappelle left, you know, Comedy Central.
Exactly.
But they're really coming after comedians that you know.
Sure. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Comedians they kind of like they always check the pulse of a society. They're kind of like the ones that, you know, speak on the taboo. And if you go back and watch early comedy, you know, it's really indicative of how free a society is. So like, you know, like, or what you can talk about or what's taboo. But now what's happening is comedians are being canceled for what they're saying. And when you cancel comedians, like comedians, that's their whole job, is to speak about the taboo. That's really scary to me. So I think we're seeing some comedian revolts, even in LA and stuff like that. But, you know, the cucked comedy shit is actually a little terrifying to me, because comedians are some of the best philosophers that we have. Even if you look back to George Carlin.
George Carlin, I was going to say,
he's my all-time favorite.
If you take the laugh track away from George Carlin, just take the laugh track away completely, His philosophical mind is unbelievable.
No, he was a smart guy. He really was.
Another good one, you know, obviously Norm MacDonald's a great one.
He's good.
Patrice O'Neill's a great one. I mean, there's a whole host of them, but they pick out the taboo. They see things from the outsider's perspective that other people don't, and they point to realities of what's going on in the situation. And when you take that away, you know, when you take that taboo away, that's a really dangerous thing to do. You know, it's a really dangerous thing to do. So that's one of the dangers that I'm noticing is that comedy. And I actually saw this video where like a lot of the late night talk show hosts told the same exact Trump joke across like seven different shows. They told the exact same Trump joke.
So it was like in stereo, kind of like their news broadcast are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing.
Isn't that nice?
You know what they say though, in comedy, there's a hint of truth in every joke, and that's what scares people. You know what I mean? It's like, because that's a joke is a nice way of telling somebody off. A joke is, you know what I mean? There can always be that vindictive thing, or there can be that message that you're trying to get through, or whatever. You know what I mean? You can always use it to a certain advantage or to a degree or whatever.
Yeah. No. So, you know, and I'm a big fan of a lot of the LA comedians that coming out of the Comedy Store. And like you said, the Laugh Factory, there's an explosion of good young talent, but that within that realm, there are a lot of swampy comics out there that just piss me the F off, that are telling people what they can and cannot joke about. Like, come on, man, like either joke about it all or get the fuck off the stage. You know?
Yeah. Hey, you know what else is really swampy?
What's that?
Your mom.
I knew she was going there. I knew we were.
So,
ching ching! I just knocked that out of the park.
Oh, nice. Man.
That was all wood.
Oh no, you got one of those too. Get her away from the controls.
But, yeah, no kidding.
I was actually gonna say not your mom. I was gonna say my ass, because it's really hot outside, so I have a swampy ass today.
Oh,
very sorry. I apologize. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I know it.
Anyway, I'm just sharing that personal information.
I know we said we did want to get in a little bit of talking about energy, because that's something that we all do talk about. And, you know, we were going to record yesterday, but I had like a complete mental breakdown. And, you know, I've been like completely on edge lately, more so. And Janet knows this, and Matt, I'll tell you this, like, I am a natural empath, and so I have to be really careful with who I let into my life, because I tend to attract certain types of dark energy that if I don't set boundaries, it starts to control me. And it's almost like every 3 to 4 years, it all just comes together and there's a tipping point, and I go dark for like 3 months, you know, where I tune everybody out, and I don't talk to anybody, and I have to completely reset and like recalibrate. And I've almost gotten to that point a couple times. But if you're not, this really just goes to anybody, that if you are not surrounding yourself with positivity, if you aren't self-aware of the energy that you're bringing around you, if you're naturally giving person and you surround yourself with people that naturally take, and what we call energy vampires, what they do is they suck the energy out of you. And we've even talked about that with the reptilians and things like that, you know, energy drainers. And so, you know, those are kind of the things that I've been trying to do. So that's why, like, you know, for the people that are listening that know me, you know, I've been going, excuse me, a little bit more dark on Twitter, Instagram, because right now what I'm doing is I have to eliminate right now and reassess before
I need to purge
before I pop back out and just kind of, you know, recalibrate. You know, and I even did things like this, Matt, and I'm sure you know about this. even about certain things like, setting your frequencies, because there are natural actual sound wavelengths and frequencies that are in harmony with nature.
532.
Yes. Yes. Right. So, So, about like even tuning your instrument. We talk about chakras, aligning your chi. Well, even, right. And you know this as a guitar player, even within the string of a guitar, there's certain pressure points on a string that cause natural harmonics. So it's like even your instrument has natural chakras. So all these like little things that I do. And then as soon as I stop paying attention to that, that's when I start letting a lot of this dark energy in. So, that is right now an element that I'm focusing on is eliminating and then focusing on things that are positive in my life and directing my energy towards that. So,
and I'm just going to say that not only do instruments have that, ability to tune to your frequency and to affect chakras, so does your body.
Mm-hmm.
Also a natural empath, as well as the healing energy. I'm very in tune with Bob.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, Mother Nature has made it so anytime Bob is feeling something, I pick it up.
It's really...
I can pick up other people as well, but Bob especially. And if he's feeling... overwhelmed and stomach pain from his Crohn's, I feel the same.
It's almost, it's unbelievable because it was a couple of weeks ago where it first started because I've started getting panic attacks for the first time. I've never had them. And it was right around the time of my first panic attack and I didn't tell anybody. I get a text from Janet and it just says, "Are you okay?" And it was like, whoa. I was like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Like Janet has a superpower with this stuff. And it's funny that you say in tune, right? Because in guitar, in music, mm-hmm. That's what we say. We say we're in tune with
right,
one another.
Right, because I'm picking up your frequency and your vibration.
Yeah, it's almost like, in reality, you have the physical and the metaphysical, right? So we're operating on this realistic plane, but there's this metaphysical plane that me and you could be walking around on the similar path, but we're elevating on completely different frequencies. So when you say you're in tune, it means you're aligned with that person. So you pick up on their energy, almost like a radio signal.
It is.
When you surround yourself with people that lower your frequency and lower your vibration, it's going to cause discord on everything.
Right.
Listen, this is too much information, but since I have Crohn's, it even causes irregularities in your bowel movements.
Yes, it does. It does.
Even things like that.
And that's what I want people to understand. For people that are empaths, it's extremely important to center yourself, to expel all of the negative energy that you pick up from everyone else throughout the day, whether they're in your direct vicinity or whether you're picking up people in a crowd, or at the grocery store, whatever the case may be. It's so important to expel that energy, and I will tell you why. Because as an empath, if you don't expel that negative energy, it stores up. It stores up in your body.
Mm-hmm.
When you store that negative energy, it makes it manifest itself into assumptions, false thoughts, thoughts of self-harm, thoughts of, all kinds of things. It manifests in so many different ways. It's so important to get rid of that. Mm. So it's important for Bob to be focused on his life right now because, and I'm going to say this, not going to name anything specific. However, Bob has been under direct assault.
Mm-hmm.
I've been under a partial assault, which is way less of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's what my opening was about. It's so much harder for people to attack me because I'm a very open person. And if somebody wants to like, I'm going to report you and I'm going to tell a reporter, like, dig into your past. I will fucking tell you everything in my past. It may turn off some listeners. It may not. However, I personally don't give a shit. But I will say, as an empath and as a healer, I will focus my energy on taking care of the people around me. And if you attack somebody that's in my circle, it's not going to work out well for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that natural maternal, well, it's not even a maternal instinct, but it's just that protection, but in your case, a maternal instinct. Yeah.
But that's the important thing for people that are empaths to know. And I want to mention one thing while we're talking about this. You and I have talked before on a Periscope about the pineal gland.
Yes.
And how important that is. And it's like you're deemed your third eye. It's your energy source. It's your power source. Mine is very, very wide open. I can sense things, feel things, smell things, hear things that a lot of other people cannot. I know that sounds kind of fucked up to some people. However, I want you to consider this. Do you know that the new thermometers that they use are infrared scanners
that hit your head,
are pointed in the middle of your forehead at your pineal gland?
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yep.
Correct. I just think there's so many different.
What do you think they're doing? They're not trying to open it.
They're not
trying to open your third eye at all.
There's so many ways they're trying to calcify the pineal gland, there have been so many ways to do it. Whether it's through wavelength manipulation, you can go all day about 5G. Whether it's through chemicals, whether it's through
frequencies,
mm-hmm. whether it's through diet, fluoride, things like that. You know, even like. Simple things like this, like I used to watch just old television and interviews, and like the common man and woman used to speak with so much more clarity, than we see today. There's a lot of discord. Correct. And I think you can reverse that process. I think I have. I think I'm much more of sound mind than I used to. And I think the self-awareness is the first thing. But there's a lot of elements out there that are causing discord. And that's what I said when I drive out to the country to see you. I have so much more clarity of mind because it's away from the static. It's away from, whether you think chemtrails are real or not. But I just feel like there's a lot of toxicity within urban areas that don't exist in rural areas. And the best way to observe that is to see how nature responds to it. And that's why I always tell people this. I'm like, when I was a kid, I used to see flying V patterns in the sky all the time, just birds. And they would, they would land in my side yard.
Like the geese.
Yes. Just large amounts of them. Yeah. And I would see caterpillars and lightning bugs and, you name it. Now I'd see a lot more bees, obviously. We've talked about, that kind of stuff too. And today it's like, it's dead. It's almost dead. It's a deadening sound. I should be hearing birds all day. And I go out to visit Janet and I see wildlife. And there, I even watch, like when I watch birds fly in the city, they almost seem like their flight patterns are disrupted. As if they're all, because
they're confused.
They're confused. Right. And there's something to be said. I think we need to pay attention to that. Everything affects everything. All energy affects all energy. When you emit positive energy, you're emitting it into the world, and you're saying, this is what I want to release. And somebody's going to pick up on that. Going to pick up on that and use it. So, and I think when you sit down, kind of like what you do, just in your carport and observe nature, just the simplest thing, observing nature, you can learn a lot about yourself and about the area around you too. So,
It's important for me to continually ground myself, and I do it daily and sometimes multiple times a day. Depending on what exactly is going on, that's why sometimes with Twitter, I may only actually get on once a day, usually later in the day, because my morning is my time to recharge. and regenerate in the mornings, especially as that's when the wildlife is like extremely active. So recharging is super important. But even like talking about flight disruption patterns for birds and stuff, think about like the shit that's in the chemtrails or was. They were started in 1997. Mm-hmm. I mean, earlier than that for other purposes, but in 97 is an actual source of basically trying to harm us as a planet. Mm-hmm. And it's heavy metals. It's barium and aluminum, the same shit that's in our vaccines mm-hmm. that I told you before cause neurological, cognitive impairment, GI impairment or disruption, you know, problems with your respiratory system, problems with your muscles, high blood pressure, you know, because I told you before, like barium hardens in your system like concrete. So think about the plaque in people's arteries and all that stuff. And when your main arteries are clogged off, it raises your blood pressure. You can have heart problems. It, you know, you can have seizures or neurotoxicity, things like that. But all of these things, along with, you know, like fluoride is in chemtrails, mm-hmm. you know, thorium and manganese and stratorium and things like that, which all cause like stomach lining issues. So all the people that have like upset stomach all the time, or guess what? When you're super stressed, Bob, what happens to your stomach?
Oh, I immediately get digestive issues and I immediately get intestinal pains immediately.
Right.
So there is a brain gut.
So you have pain and then what happens to your stools?
Oh, well then I'm going to the bathroom all day, and then it's like a domino effect, you know, like which comes first, right. The chicken or the egg. But there's a definite brain gut connection. You know, the mind right. affects the gut and the gut affects the mind.
It does.
Yeah.
100%. And so all of these things, whether it's, you know, the chemtrails, which thank goodness those have lessened
right.
since Trump took office. But, you know, the chemtrails, the 5G, because with all the spraying of the heavy metals, you know, in the chemtrails, and then 5G makes those metals vibrate.
Right.
And then what happens to your body? You know, it's like.
And then your body is made so much of water, which is almost like a conductor, you know.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And the one thing that's in the chemtrails, which is the thorium, is actually radioactive. And they have used that for nuclear fuel before. Yeah. What the fuck are they doing to our bodies?
Yeah, it's very
like
scary.
Honest to God.
It's frightening when you think about, you know, and I always tell people like, okay, you don't have to walk around with a tinfoil hat all day, you know, and confine yourself. But just be aware of it, so that way, you know, we can and be vocal about it. Be aware of it. Be vocal about it, and just do whatever you can. You know, whether it's you know, with your water supply, make sure it's clean. You know,
100%. I mean, we bought, and you know this, we bought a testing kit,
sure,
for our water because fluoride. Was a mining byproduct that was dumped into our water as a quote wink good substance because they didn't have anywhere to put it.
Mm.
And that was done by the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rockefellers set up the AMA and all the medical schools and whatnot. So like we talked about before, all the cures and, you know, all the healthy things and the, you know, the nutraceuticals and the natural healing things and stuff like that. It's all being suppressed because it's big fucking money. It's big fucking money for the families.
Well, you can't
that actually control everything about us.
You can't profit off of sunlight, right? So like when you go outside right. and you're jogging, like they can't profit off the fact that you're getting vitamins from the sun, you know, unless they come up with a way to tax the sun, you know, or to bottle it. Or
well, then they can then create the nutraceuticals, wink, wink, to put into a bottle to sell you. Nope. The healthiest shit vitamin D is to go out in the fucking sun yourself and don't take a pill. Just go out and sit in the sun.
And now they're quarantining us.
That's what I was going to say. They want everybody to stay inside all the fucking time now.
Right. So
they're
lowering, not gonna happen.
They're essentially lowering the immune system of our entire world by doing this because they're separating ourselves, you know, separating us from ourselves so we can't develop a herd immunity. They're lowering our individual immunity because we're not outside. I made it a point to get outside as much as I can. And that's what I'm telling people with 100%. These masks. I'm like, I have Crohn's disease. I'm telling you guys, it is counterproductive for me to walk around with all this mask, which is basically like a fucking petri dish. And I'm also breathing in my own CO2 all the time. So
you're breathing in all of the bacteria that's coming through your mask because the quote cloth masks are recommended by the CDC. For everyone to wear, which have a 3% filtration rate. 3%.
No, thank you.
So, yeah, no, thank you. So anyway, that's like a petri dish from a hooker house, but that's another story.
But, you know, like,
just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, and that's why, like, I think even in music, Matt, like simplification, right? Like what catches people? The simple stuff, right?
Oh, it's the
simple
kiss rule. Rich. It's the kiss rule.
Right.
Keep it simple, that's stupid.
Dude, I am from that school forever and ever and a day. And it's like the best song is the song that you play on a guitar and sing or a guitar and or a piano and a vocal. And that's the crux of the song. That is what's copyrightable legally. I mean, if you're into all that.
That's my favorite.
That's to me, that's the best, man. It's just like, you know.
So if you can apply that to your life, because right now, like my life is like a chaotic, like Mozart piece that's like dissonant and like arrhythmic. And so I'm trying to get it back to like a fucking simple Beatles, like, you know, like nice melodic progression that sounds appeasing to the ear.
Don't say the Beatles. There are some stories about the Beatles.
Oh, sure. Like Paul McCartney.
Pick someone else. Yeah. Pick someone else.
I'm a big Doors fan, but I heard Jim Morrison's dad worked for the CIA.
Well, oh my God. I tell you what, you bring me back on. I could talk about Laurel Canyon and the CIA operations.
I know Laurel Canyon very well.
Sure you did.
We will have you on here literally all the time. Like we could seriously have you every week and I'd be pretty fucking happy.
Well, I enjoy this conversation. It's just three friends sitting around talking shop. You know, we'd be doing this without microphones, so. You know,
truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have enjoyed it. It has been a lot of fun.
I've enjoyed it as well. Mr. Matt, any final closing thoughts today?
I think a lot of the stuff we're talking about is just being aware, kind of like what Bob was saying, being aware of what's going on, being aware of your surroundings, being aware of, you know, everything where your kids are at. I've got a 13-year-old daughter and it's like, you know, she gets scared hearing all this kill white people stuff, you know? So it's like,
exactly.
Educate yourselves, research stuff to death. I don't, you know, everyone, my girlfriend's like, oh, you just watch Fox News. I don't watch Fox News. Fox News is a lot of you guys have seen have been kind of going a little further middle to the left.
In the porta potty.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like you really have to just kind of go and use common sense and, you know, be honest with yourself. And does this sound like bullshit?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the opposite, like that back to the Orwellian 1984 with what the Ministry of Truth, which is what the media is turning into. They were teaching you that ignorance is strength, but realistically, knowledge is strength. Knowledge is power. That's really what it is. And if as long as they keep you ignorant, then, you know, they have power over you. So that's really what it is, because you're noticing a lot of the mentally strong people are the ones that can withstand a lot of this stuff. And who's the best example of that? The President of the United States of America. I don't know anybody else. That could.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So. No, dude, the stuff the guy has to go through. I mean, you figure, and then not only just of you defending yourself from all these attacks, but trying to actually get some work done.
That's crazy.
Right.
I mean, that's what really blows me away. He'll sit there and go, yeah, they're doing all this, but oh, look here, while they're doing that, I'm going to go here and sign these bills, or I'm going to try to make things better. Right. It's like, again, even if you don't like the guy, how could you look at somebody who, one, was responsible for the projects for African-Americans in New York? He's one of the few people who ever got a award with, who was it, Rosa Parks and Muhammad Ali. I mean, dude, how racist could the guy be? I mean, you could look all this stuff up, right?
Sure.
Right.
I just don't understand it. I mean, 100%. You know, it's the optics of it all. I'm just wondering two things. What's going to happen before the election? Like, is Trump going to come out and like give a big Clinton's going to jail, Obama. I mean, dude, something like that would be epic. And then my extra question would be, what's going to happen after? Because you know he gets back in, dude. It's going to be 2.0 and destroyed.
Again.
And then what's going to happen in 4 years? His son's going to run. And
yes.
It's going to be all over again. Watch.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, to answer both questions, I think before the left is going to be pushing for mail-in voting and trying to increase and continue and sustain people staying at home and staying away. And I think as long as we continue to leave power to the states, it's going to expose it even more and more. Who's for freedoms, who's for regulation. Right. And afterwards, I think Trump 2.0, I think that's when you're going to be seeing more aggressive arrests. I think that's when you're going to be seeing more. Yeah, I think Trump 2.0. Because even with Obama 2.0, he started getting more aggressive. Remember when he was talking to the Russian ambassador? He was like, you know, once this election happens, I'll be more open and available. Okay, I'll tell Vladimir Putin. I'll tell him you said that, you know.
So. I mean, dude, I don't know how many people have seen that video. How you could, even if you're a Democrat, how you could watch that and go, no, it didn't mean anything. I mean, come on. The microphone was on. The mic was on. The mic was so hot. The mic got it perfectly. You had a good system up there. So I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I mean, with Biden and all this stuff too. I mean, who knows? I just want to see people go to jail. I really do.
I do too. But you know, Biden tweeted out yesterday saying, you know, mail-in voting. That's what we're trying to do. Hide Biden and mail-in voting. That's the big thing. But you know, and I just remember from last election that the polls had him down by 8 to 10 points and Vegas odds had him at +650. +650 means you're a huge underdog. And even right now, it's like the Vegas odds have him at even money. So if the Vegas odds have him at even money, that means he's way ahead. If the polls have him behind, the polls have him behind by a little bit, he's way ahead. You know, so it's, you know, and I talked to my uncle about this. I have never been polled before. Where are all these mysterious polls that happen all the time?
Ever.
Never been polled.
Never.
The polls are in the strip clubs, but that's
yes, they are.
That's the only poll I've ever been on. But that's
a lot of the politicians are there too.
Yes, they are.
True.
Stoking the polls, baby. Stoke the polls.
So, Mr. Bob, any final thoughts today?
You know, like I was saying, you know, since what's going on with me, I guess I could express that just to everybody is that surround yourself with good people, surround yourself with positive people. And that's why, you know, as much as I wanted to stay dark, I came on this podcast today is because it's like I need to be around good people with positive energy. And I got a positive vibe from both of you. Even when, you know, Matt, when you came on my Periscope, it was awesome and very, very easy. And so I need to I'm a big fan of visualization. So I moved to an area to where I could visualize healthy families, positive relationships, things. And I'm paying a little bit more. So I have to cut costs in other areas, but I had to be in an area to where I visualize stuff because I'm a visual learner. So just make sure that everybody, even if you're not an empath, just make sure, you know, you're controlling what you let in, controlling what you give out and be self-conscious of every action that you make to make sure that, you know, it's a positive one. So
truth. And right now, Bob, where can people find you at? Where can people find your work at?
So I'm doing a lot of stuff through Patreon. So you can follow me at patreon.com/sideshowbob. My Twitter account, I did reactivate it as private. So you can follow me at Bob's Lessons, BOBSLESSONS. Probably not going to post too much from there for a little bit. And then, the No Mercy podcast, you can't find us on Spotify anymore cause we got taken down, but you can find us on iTunes and other methods, No Mercy podcast, with Tommy G as the main host. So that's the best spot to find us.
Perfect. And Mr. Matt, where can people find you?
East Los Angeles. Bring it on.
Smart ass.
Come on. Who wants to fight?
Smart ass today.
No, you can actually just go on my website. It's just mattmoss.com. I'm not afraid to give it out. It's fine. It ain't going to my house or anything.
All right. And the perfect thing is, please remember to push us up in the ratings. Like, subscribe, download. Please write a review. You can follow us on almost all major podcast platforms. There are some that it's not on yet. However, they're working on that. But make sure you write a review. It's really important. Right now, you guys have been fantastic. Thank you for all the great reviews. Thank you for all the comments on Twitter. Of course, you can always follow me at Deplorable Janet. And for Matt and for Bob, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for letting us get our voice out to there to the public. And we love you. So until next time, signing off for all of us, have a good evening.